Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, and read it with me if you would. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. There were so many thoughts going through my mind coming into this service today, and I finally settled on one. It's a very simple thought. It's only a two-word title. I want to speak on the subject, pressing on. Pressing on. And let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for what you are doing among us, and Lord, for that witness of the spirit that we sense here today. Lord, that you are at work among us. And Lord, I pray that you will be magnified in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'll enable me to communicate your word as you would have it spoken. Lord, that your name would be lifted up above everything and that you would receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. We've come to a great point in our history as a church. A point that, when this church was begun, probably seemed like an impossibility. In a few moments, we're going to symbolically dig a shovel full of dirt out of the ground that represents the construction that's coming. And our progress to this point has taken time. It's taken the investment of talent and treasure, energy and effort of so many. And I can't begin to thank everybody who has had a part in getting us to where we are today. Those who gave, those who serve on our board and who help us to make the decisions and who worked so hard. Over the years that I've been here, and it's hard to believe it's going to be 27 years in a very short time, there were times it would seem like we were leaping ahead. Then there were times when it would seem like, Lord, if we can just hang on. And there are other times that it seemed like, well, we're losing a bit of ground. But the secret to success is simply pressing on. The secret to success is, as Winston Churchill said, never give up. Never, ever give up. And those were the sentiments of the Apostle Paul. Now Paul, at the time that he wrote the words that we read this morning, was languishing in a prison cell in Rome. He was far from home. Most of his friends were unable to be there. And while he was there, he began to put pen to paper and wrote the book of Philippians. It's a remarkable book for several reasons. It describes who Christ is. But the theme of that book is a theme of joy. It's about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And throughout the pages of that letter, Paul writes to believers who are on the outside of the prison walls and saying, you have a reason to rejoice. But when I looked at the Apostle Paul, of course, he started out as a Pharisee, an enemy of Christianity, a persecutor of the church. He had a miraculous conversion. He begins to preach the gospel. He begins to tell people about Jesus. And in his experience, he's going to a new city. He's preaching the gospel. Things get stirred up. People come to know Jesus. He ends up either in jail or on his way to jail, goes to the next city, and the same thing happens. By the time he gets to Rome, he knows that the end of his life is at hand. It had been prophesied. But there was no funeral dirge. There was no sense of mourning in the life of the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament. As he began to pen these words, he started many churches. But he writes, and I paraphrase it, he writes and he tells the church at Philippi, he says, but I'm not done yet. It's not over yet. I might be in prison. You know, tradition tells us that when the Apostle Paul was in prison, that they would have a soldier chained to him. For many of us, we would look at that and say, that is defeat. How could I end up here as a follower of Jesus? How could this possibly be? There must be something wrong. But there's a lesson for us in Paul's life. And that is, when you think that things may be going wrong, if your life is in God's hand, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you keep pressing on, God has something that He wants to do in your life. You know, they said, tradition tells us, they would have a soldier chained to him to guard him. And for many, that would be seen as, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to stir things up. I'm just going to get through this. But tradition tells us that the Apostle Paul, instead of looking at the soldier as an obstacle to his freedom, instead of saying, I am chained here and I can't go anywhere, the Apostle Paul looked at the soldier beside him, and instead of seeing a problem, he saw an opportunity. Tradition tells us, and I like to think of it this way, the new shift would come on, the soldier would be chained to Paul, he'd be right there, couldn't get away, and Paul's looking at him and saying, for the next few hours, I have a captive audience. He can't get away from me. This isn't about me getting away from him. He can't get away from me. And tradition tells us that the captain of the guard had to change the rotation. He couldn't allow them to be in there as long as they ordinarily would, because by the time they were coming out, they may have went in a pagan, but they were coming out a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize. The wonder of faith is that when it seems that life gets you down, keep pressing on. When it seems like you're up against the brick wall and there is no way, God is the God who makes a way where there is no way. When you keep on pressing on, when you keep on moving forward. I was thinking, as Paul wrote, I'm not done yet, I'm pressing on, I'm not finished, there's still more yet to come. I thought of this church. I thought of the beginnings of this church, and last night I was messaging back and forth with Pastor Cole Price, and he's not my father or my uncle. We share the family name, and somewhere in the tree we are related. But I think of how they left an established church with a good salary to come here to West Island because they had a vision that there could be a church here and that God would want to do something. They started in rented facilities and moving from place to place. Then they had a chapel in their townhouse in the basement. I don't know if that's strictly legal, but they had it back then. And I remember when I was in Bible college coming and they showed us the chapel, and then as one of the pictures was on the screen, I noticed that Sister Tatlin was there in those early days and was a part of that group when they met in the chapel. Humble beginnings in the beginning of in the basement of a townhouse. And then they raised the funds to buy this building, and I think it was around $60,000. That doesn't seem like much money now, but back then it was a lot of money. And they raised the funds from other churches and bought the building. And some of the pictures that were on the screen were of some of the work that was being done. They didn't have the money to contract it out. And so people came together to work and to get things together. And it looked different. The carpet was different. Back in those days, the style of carpet was very different. And you may have noticed it and said, who would put that kind of carpet in a church? And over time, then the Prices left, and Pastor and Sister Pelkey came, and they were here about 3 years, only a short time, but they left a lasting impact. I'll never forget the day we had just concluded services in our church in New Brunswick, and the phone rang, and it was Pastor Pelkey. I didn't know why he would be calling me. We weren't, I knew him, but we weren't especially good friends, and And he called and asked if I would consider coming here to consider being the next pastor. And I told him that I really wasn't in the market to make a move. That things were going well where we were, and we'd only been married a short time, and we were just happy where we were. So we came, and it was, some of you who were here then, you remember it was in the middle of the week, and that was because I told them we'll come in the middle of the week because I'm not going to be away on a Sunday, and I don't want to stir things up, because I'll come, but don't plan on it. Well, any of you who knew Pastor Pelkey, when he gets something in his head, he gets it in his head. And so he showed us around, and my wife and I, we were, you know, praying about it. Lord, you know, could this be you? Is this really, you know, things are going well back home, and, you know, just finally starting to get to where we want to get to, and could this be you? And the whole time, Pastor Pelkey had us out looking at apartments. I mean, we weren't coming. And we told the Lord there's certain things that have to happen. And we looked at one apartment that was not available. And we told the Lord, we said, Lord, like if you want us here, well, we want that apartment because it's not available. Or one exactly like it. So we were getting ready to leave. And Pastor Pelkey just wouldn't give up. So he said, there's one more we've got to go look at. It's not going to be coming available when you would want it, but we're going to go look at it. So we drove from Pointe Claire. He called, and we drove from Pointe Claire to Pierrefonds. And we get out of the car, and the lady, who's not connected with church in any way, wonderful lady, but she came out the front door. It was in a triplex. She comes out. She was in the middle one. She comes out, and the words coming out of her mouth were like, God must really be with you. I'm like, this is strange. And from the time we left Pointe Claire to the time we got down to Pierrefonds Boulevard, the people who were renting the apartment we were looking at, the guy called home to his wife and said, you need to give notice on our apartment that we're going to be gone immediately. Because I'm getting transferred. And so she came out and said, the apartment, you can have it anytime if you want it. We walked in and it was identical to the apartment that we had looked at. And we were standing looking at each other. And before we knew it, we're filling out paperwork. You know what? God works in amazing ways. And I told my wife when we were driving back to New Brunswick, I told her, you know what, honey, we could try it. And I had also told the Lord that I have to hear her say that this is the right thing to do. And we're driving back, and she didn't know I'd prayed that, and we're driving back, and she says, you know, Bill, she said, I don't like the thought of moving that far, but it just seems like God's in this thing. And so I said, well, you know what, we'll try it for 6 months. And so every 6 months, we try it for another 6 months, and another 6 months. And in that time, you know, that first month, to have a crowd even like we have today would be amazing, because our first month average, we still have the paperwork, it was 23 people. We had gusts up to 30, and then we had down into the low teens. And that's counting men, women, children. Brother Huskins, who was our secretary at the time, he came to me one time and he asked me, you know, if a woman is expecting, can we count them as two? And knowing him, he would have guesstimated they were going to have twins or triplets just to help us out. We've been blessed. If the walls of this building could speak, they'd speak of times when people got married. You know, having been here as long as I have, I think, you know, one of the first weddings that I had was Brother Gordon and Sister Nona. And I'm feeling a little bit old because their children are here. They got a grandchild here today. Wow. The walls would tell of transformed lives. They tell of fellowships, because we like to eat too. They tell of prayer times, and they'd also tell of times of loss as we mourn the loss of people who were so faithful. of times of joy and of times of hope. They'd remind us of the blessing of the Lord. And that's the past. And the past gives us so much to be thankful for. I was looking back through some pictures, and as you may have seen there, some of the pictures that you saw, now these people tower over me. And I know as time goes on, some of you who are younger, who are in here with us this morning, that's going to be you. But I look at the past, and I'm so thankful for every person that's walked through our doors. So thankful for every person that came to know Jesus, and what a wonderful thing that is. But Paul said, I can't live in the past. I've got to point to the future while I'm living in the now. And the beauty of the past is the lessons that we learn and the encouragement that we find. Albert Einstein said this. He said, learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. We can't live in the past. But Paul said, there's one thing I do. I'm pressing forward. I'm not sitting back saying, I've done my part. It's over now. But he said, there's so much more. And this morning, I want to remind us. I remember the days when we wanted to hire a snow plowing company and we had to raise a special offering to be able to pay the bill. Anybody remember those days? Anybody that was here then? Remember those days? When the hydro bill would get too high, we'd have to raise a special offering to cover the bill because there wasn't a lot of money. And today we're at a point where God has blessed us immensely. And when we look back to think that we're able to expand, and we're not going head over heels in debt to do it, I look at it and say, God, you have blessed us immensely. When I look at the number of people who are here Sunday after Sunday, and how God has blessed us, and I just say, thank you, Lord. When I think of the things that we're able to do, you know what? It's been a long time since we had to take up a special offering to pay just what's a normal bill. I'm thankful for that because I'm horrible at fundraising. I'm thankful for that. You know, the truth about me and fundraising is I'm so awkward at it that people feel sorry for me. But God has blessed us. And we have a choice. We can build the extension to the building. We can continue to do things well. We can continue to have money in the bank and be able to offer various ministries, and all of that is great. Or we can make a conscious decision as a church and as individuals that as blessed as we are and as wonderful as it is to have come to the point where we are, that there is a sense of holy dissatisfaction among us that says, we are not done yet. This is not the end of where we're going, but this is only the beginning of what God wants to do among us. I've got to bring this to a close. I'm horrible at trying to keep the time frames, and we're trying to, you know, have a schedule and all that. I'm horrible at that, I know. But I thought of the Old Testament of a man named Caleb. Caleb went in with Joshua. There were 12 spies that were sent in to look at Canaan's land. 10 came back saying, we can't do anything. And 2 came back, Caleb and Joshua, saying, we can take the land with God's help. We can overcome. Only 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, would eventually go into Canaan's land. But there's an interesting story in Joshua 14. I've got it in the New Living. We'll put it on the screen. Caleb came to his old friend Joshua. It's 45 years later. Actually, it's a long time. He comes to his friend Joshua. He says, Joshua, there's something on my mind. Let's read it. He said, you can see the Lord has kept me alive as well and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. He said, today I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. The King James says, give me this mountain that God's promised to me. We look at Caleb and say, Caleb, you're 85 years old. You should be taking it easy. Caleb, maybe you should think about leaving it to a younger person. But Caleb said, there's been something that's been burning within my heart. And today as the church, we realize that God is not just about buildings. Buildings are only tools that we use to be able to have a place to worship. But oh, for a Caleb spirit that says, God, you're not finished yet. You're not done yet. It's not over yet. As we look to the future and we give thanks for what is happening in the middle of a culture that's at best noncommittal towards faith and often openly hostile, we're reminded that God's purpose for the church in this time is not for the church to survive. God's purpose is not for the church to survive. But God's purpose in the time in which we live is beyond survival to revival. God's purpose for the church in the time in which we live is not just merely to try to make it through and to survive, but God's purpose for the church is for the church to continue to grow, for the church to continue to see spiritual renewal, for the church to continue to see that God is at work among His people today as much as He was in Bible times. God is at work. This is an exciting time to be a follower of Jesus. We've got tools at our disposal that other generations didn't have. We have opportunities for the gospel that generations before us didn't have. And brothers and sisters, you can look at the difficulties, you can look at the obstacles that may be in the way, or you can, along with Caleb, say, I'm going to stand up and realize that if God gives me a promise, that God is big enough to bring it to pass. God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. We can't, but God can. I close with this scripture. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We gather here to worship. We gather here to fellowship. We gather here for so many different purposes. But from this building, from the place of worship, we go into our homes, we go into our schools, into our work lives to be the light of the world. To know that darkness can never overcome the light. That even the smallest of lights, even the tiniest of lights, when it's brought into a dark place, the darkness can never put out the light, but the light always throws back the darkness. There's going to come a day as we move forward that we expand our ministries to be able to touch lives here in Pointe Claire. To be able to do more for the food bank than we've ever done. To expand our school kit program beyond what it's ever been and what we ever dreamed. That when we do our blessing bags for the homeless, it's going to take a truck to get them to where they need to get to. All of those things are going to happen. There's going to come a day when this building, even with the extension, is not going to be big enough. Years ago, it seemed like the sanctuary would never be filled. I preached a message a couple of times called A Message to the Empty Seats, because there were more empty seats, way more empty seats than there were filled. And today we've reached a mile marker. And in a few months, we're gonna cut the ribbon. We're gonna celebrate. We're gonna have an opening, and we're gonna thank the Lord for what He's done for us. But in all of it, we're gonna keep on pressing on. As long as there's one person that we can come in contact with who doesn't know Jesus, we can do nothing else. We will continue on. It may mean discomfort. It may mean stepping out of your comfort zone. It may mean that we have to make accommodations that will stretch us. But the one thing we do know is that Jesus said that He was coming back for a church that would be a glorious church. I know we're not all the church, but I'm speaking to us here today. He said He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We've got to keep on pressing on. And as we stand together this morning, I know that this breaks deeply with our custom, but this is one Sunday out of the year. And ordinarily we have a prayer time and we sing and we pray. This morning we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to have a prayer as we close this part of our service. And then I'm going to invite you to get your coats and join us outside. It looks like the sun is shining. I think they said minus one. I'm praying for like plus two or plus three. But it's sunshine. And with what we've been through, it's going to seem like it's warm out there. And I want to invite you to come and stand on the sidewalk and or on the steps or wherever you can get. Our board will be joining me on the lawn. And we're going to have the ceremonial first shovel. And we're going to give God thanks for all that He's done. And so would you join with me in prayer? Father, today we celebrate Your goodness. Lord, today we stand amazed at all that You've done. Lord, at the way that You've brought us together from so many languages, from so many cultures. Lord, and You've made us to be a microcosm of our world and representative of so many nations. And Lord, today we know that it's only You that has brought us together. And Lord, with all of our differences, You've brought us together into one body called the church. And today, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the finance that You've given to us. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and the way that You have been at work in all of the procedures leading up to this. And Lord, today as we get ready to break ground, our hearts cry out in thanksgiving. And Lord, we honor You most of all for all that You have done. And Lord, we pray Your blessing on each one today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And just before we go out, they're asking me to mention, if you didn't get one of the coasters, please pick one up on the way out. We've got lots of them. And again, thanks to New Foil Print for helping us out with those. We appreciate it so much. And it's a great memento that you can keep to remind you of this day. And so we'd ask you to get your coat. And please just don't... I know us. We can never leave here quickly. But if you would help us out, and if you want to talk later, if you could come back in, that would be great. But if you could just quickly get your coat, if you have it with you, we'll make our way outside, and we will have the next part of our groundbreaking ceremony outside.